When I was growing up, it became clear pretty early on that I was very interested in math and science and things that would later lead naturally to study engineering, computers. I loved the scientific world, experimenting with things, as I spoke last week, taking plants out of their pots to see what makes them grow, and such incredible experiments as dropping my sister's dolls off a wall onto the ground to learn about the acceleration of gravity and what would happen to a baby doll when it hits the ground in a million pieces. All kinds of scientific experiments that I learned early on. I would later go on to study computer science. I remember when my dad brought home our first computer, I was always programming it and trying to make it work better. And to this day, I love science, math, engineering, technology, all things that are very concrete. I love it that if I write a computer program, it does exactly what I say. If there's a bug in it, it's not the computer's fault. It's mine. I just have to find it. These are all things that can be experimented, tangible. And yet, today we celebrate a feast that points us beyond simply the tangible things of this world. The solemnity of the Ascension is really a chance that we are able to look with eyes beyond just the natural world. We might think of Jesus ascending to heaven and we think, well, he went up. You know, I also remember as a young child sitting on the ground and looking at the clouds and trying to see beyond them, to think, is that heaven? Could I see it if I looked up? And of course, heaven is not up. Even though Jesus ascends, it's not like he keeps going off into space and escapes, and he's like somewhere near Saturn now or something. Jesus didn't go someplace else. Rather, it might be better to think, instead of Jesus being someplace else, it's more like Jesus is somehow else now. He has a different being altogether. It's not contained by time and space anymore. Jesus, we say, has gone to the right hand of the Father. He's gone to heaven. Well, that's a little mysterious. It's hard to talk about things like that. One thing we know for sure is that Jesus has passed beyond our physical sight. But it's no less real. That's the thing that I think our society gets very wrong today. With all of our scientific advances, and I love those, there is more to the world that is real than simply what is able to be experimented upon. Science is great, but to some extent today, we have reduced all knowledge of the world to science. Something with, rather than scientific, we might call scientism, almost a worship of science, or at least a reduction of all of our knowledge to this small part of reality. And I say small because, yes, we can tangibly experiment upon the world, but there's a whole other realm out there that is equally real, more real, in fact, that without the eyes of faith, we would be impoverished and not even be able to grasp. I remember this very vividly when I went to seminary. My background, as I said, is engineering. So ordinarily, in the old days, you would study philosophy for 4 years, so you could then study theology for 4 years. Well, in my case, they have a little crash course in philosophy they called pre-theology. So I got to learn all the theology that I needed, or all the philosophy I needed in 1 year, called pre-theology. 4 years of philosophy crashed down to 1 year. I'll never forget the class I showed up for on ontology, which is the study of being. The professor literally got up in front of the class and said, "Today we're going to talk about what it means to be." And I'm thinking, is there to be? Is there an equation for that? I can't even. What do you mean we're going to talk about what it means to be? Well, it opened my mind to a lot of thinking about things that are only able to be grasped through this kind of looking beyond just the physical, tangible world, to ask, why are there things in the first place? Why is there being? Why is there something rather than nothing? Those are great kind of questions that point us beyond this mere physical world to something much greater. So that's what this solemnity of the Ascension is really about. I used to think that Ascension would be a sad day for the apostles. I would think, well, this is the day they have to say goodbye to Jesus. Jesus, who they've been with every day for 3 years, day and night, living together. They love him, and Jesus loves them, and the Ascension is the day that he goes away. That's how I looked at it. I thought it must be sad for the apostles. But when we understand this intangible, non-visible world, Jesus is able rightly then to say, it is better for you that I go. In fact, when I go, I will be with you always until the end of the world. That's a very mysterious thing. Because if someone we know dies or leaves or goes away, their physical presence is lost, and it's very easy for us to think they're gone. But Jesus says to us, no, no, I'm not gone. In fact, I'm with you, but in a different way, not someplace else, but somehow else. You see, when Jesus was on the earth, he could be with his 12 apostles at night, but that's it. He was with them. He wasn't with somebody else. If I'm here today, I'm not someplace else right now. Jesus, when he ascends to heaven, says, okay, now it's even better for you. Because before only the 12 apostles were around me, now I am more intimately connected with every person on the earth than I ever was with the 12 apostles. That's an amazing thought to think of. Jesus ultimately says that the bread and wine we're going to take in the Mass today, it becomes him, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, and he is more present to us on our altar today and received in Holy Communion than he ever was to the apostles. That's what Ascension is really about. It's supposed to draw our mind up and out of the limitations of only the things we can see and touch and handle in this world. You think about that, there are things that help us to do this. It's Mother's Day, and I think of how much we love our moms, and I'm getting ready to go see my mom right after this. Well, how can you tangibly quantify love? How can you prove that you love your mom? Or how do you explain things like love? That in itself is right why God says, I am love, because it points us beyond this world to say, okay, I can't experiment upon love. I couldn't produce it in a laboratory. And yet think how important that love is. It's meant to draw our mind beyond ourselves. So today, Jesus reminds us that he's not gone. We are in no way at a disadvantage to what the apostles had. We don't have to sit here and think, oh, it would have been nice to know Jesus, to be with him, and there would have been so many things I could learn. Not so. Jesus says it is better for us now than it ever was when he was on the earth. Now, because we are physical, tangible people, we look very much forward to his return in glory. And that's what this feast day is also about. Where Jesus is gone, well, he also points the way. Where the head is gone, the body is destined to follow, as we heard in the opening collect. So today we look towards Jesus and say, yes, he is with us. But there is a way in which now our job is to have things in heaven and on earth joined. We want to be in heaven. But notice that right now we have a mission. The Acts of the Apostles, it ends with angels having to tell the people, hey, why are you looking at the sky? Stop looking at the sky. Jesus isn't up there. He's not beyond the clouds. He's not someplace else. Jesus is with you right now through the Holy Spirit. Go out, be my witnesses. Go out, proclaim the good news everywhere. That's our mission then today, to know that Jesus is with us. We're destined to go where he went, but while we're here, we've got a mission. So let it be said to us, as Jesus said to his disciples on that first ascension, Jesus said, go into the whole world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. That's our mission. And when you go, know that you don't go alone. Jesus is with you now and until the end of the world.